Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to today's broadcast. Today is February 4th, 2021, and you're listening to These Be Perilous Times. Now on this show, we seek to understand not only the signs of the times, but how we must respond to the things which must soon take place. I'm Pastor Andre here with our host, Rabbi John Wesley. And friends, we welcome you to study with us this morning. Whether you're listening live or to a previously recorded episode, make sure to have your Bible, a pen and paper ready for today's word. But before we get started, as we do every week, Rabbi, would you please open us up with a word of prayer, and then we'll continue with our before Torah study blessing.
Amen. And Father, we thank you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for fulfilling what you said that you would do in your words. You promised us. You made it a mandate. The Holy Spirit went out and performed exactly what the word was that you spoke out of your mouth. So, Father, we co-create with you today. We begin to come in line. Our spirit, our soul, and our body come in line right now with the divine presence and the divine purpose that your words have spoken to us and spoken to this particular day and time. Father, we ask forgiveness for sin. We ask forgiveness for iniquity and transgression in our lives. Father, we clearly and openly not only repent of our sins, but also for our forefathers on both sides of our families. Father, we thank you for the strength to forgive ourselves, to forgive others, and we don't hold it to their charge. We protect and cover our family, though, from evil and from wickedness in this world. We thank and praise you and glorify you for being who you said you would be and being the one and only one that we can trust and put all of our confidence, not some, not a partial part of our confidence in you, but all of our confidence in you today. We do that. We are eager to see what you want to do and how you want to do it. We are expectant. We're spiritually impregnated with your desires today. And we say, have your way. Have your way in our heart. Have your way in our mind. Have your way in our emotions. Have your way on this broadcast. It's our sincere prayer and desire. In Yahushua's name, we pray. Amen and amen. Pastor Andre, I will pass it back to you, sir.
Baruch atah Yehua, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kishanu b'mitzvotav, yitzanu la'asot b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Yehua, our Yah, King of the universe, who sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yehua, nuestro Dios, Rey del Universo, quien nos santificó con sus mandamientos y nos ordenó absorbernos en las palabras de la Torah.
Praise you, Father God.
That Amen. Was Hallelujah.
Our... Oh, okay. Wanted to make sure you're still there, sir.
Still here, and the mute button works very well. So I apologize, folks. But what I was about to get us into was discussing what we discussed last week. And in a nutshell, we were discussing the importance of our leaders and the leadership and the decisions that they make and how those decisions affect us as a nation, as a world, and our micros as a result. And we put out this call. We said that last week that is a call to see and examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith and if we are faithful to Yah's word. We must also ask and examine our leaders to see if they're in the faith. Of course, for us to discern this, we must judge and evaluate actions, not just words. And the scripture for that is Matthew 7:15-16, judging by fruit, not just words or appearance. Our righteous walk can be either increased or decreased based upon the leadership that we find ourselves submitted to. One thing that we pointed out is that this is very much a spiritual journey, as we are aware, but we have to kind of go back and just really, you know, examine it and really underline it. Behind each person's decisions is a spirit, and that spirit needs to be judged and evaluated. We also talked about last week, as a result of, you know, regime changes, or as we talked about, like there was a new pharaoh, we have to examine where are we headed now. And we looked at the decisions and policies being made as impact indicators. And then what an impact indicator is it assesses current events and significant events in the world, even, or in any situation. But you use those events to measure or evaluate the climate or intensity of the situation to better know where things are headed and how much time or how you must respond to them. So we were looking at some of those things that are happening even now. And one of the main things, Rabbi, as we started to kind of bring the conversation back home, was that we understand now that we have to find a Goshen, and that is a place of protection in Yah. And we must stay there. That's the other key point. Because if you leave under the umbrella of protection, then you will find yourself experiencing the same things that are outside of Goshen, and that's not what we want. And again, Rabbi, you mentioned that it's not about pointing the finger at any specific person, but it's really about our responsibility with Yah and how we are either protected or covered, how we're protected and covered by Him, essentially. But as we mentioned about our micros, and again, micro is kind of the smallest level that you can deal with as a person. You have a micro, of course, we've talked about this in episodes past, a meso and a macro. But we're seeing right now the smallest part, micro, dealing with our internal selves. We are seeing our micro lives being heavily affected by the current mandates by leaders, not just in our country, but around the world. And when we see impact indicators go global, when we see global events happening in the way that they're happening now, as Rabbi has mentioned, we must focus on our micro. And we must make sure, on one of the points we made last week, make sure that we are not leaving vulnerable opportunities for the enemy to find a way in. And a good verse for that, I was thinking about this morning, Rabbi, is, again, that verse from Luke chapter 4, verse 13. When the enemy tries and he tempts and he is pursuing, if he doesn't get through, he looks for a opportune time. And so what we're needing to do is make sure that we're not providing an opportune time for the enemy to steal, kill, destroy, sabotage, what have you. But we need to make sure that we're buttoned down and locked down and abiding with Messiah so that His will and His way can be effective and bear fruit in our lives. So, Rabbi, I'll pass it back to you for this week's discussion.
Amen and amen. And with that, we want to begin to focus our lenses even more intensely into the topics that we've been talking about so that we can ensure, with the impact indicators that were already mentioned, that we know what we are, we know what is required and what is our responsibility to Yah. There's a lot of noise and pestilence out there. There's a lot of distractions. There's a lot of wickedness in high places now. This talked about in Ephesians chapter 6. And that's understood, and it should be understood by the bride. And I say the bride over the friend, over the servant, and definitely over the heathen, because the bottom line is we know and understand that our Heavenly Father and our spiritual husband, Yahushua, will never allow His bride, not the friend, the servant, or the heathen, but the bride, to fall prey to the wickedness and the wrath that is going to come upon this earth because of that. Now, with that said, we're going to go to a couple of scriptures. So, because I know that most of you are taking notes, we're going to try to follow this format. We're going to go into Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. And from that particular passage in that verse, we're going to pick up about impact indicators pertaining to what we already discussed pertaining to the new pharaoh and whether or not this particular pharaoh is walking righteously or walking wickedly. Another passage of scripture we're going to pick up because of that we've already discussed is Proverbs 29:2, I believe it is, because we want to make sure that we have impact indicators, not to point the finger. This is not a matter of subjectivity. This is a matter of our objective walk in the aspect of where we find ourselves. That's all that this is. So we're gathering this information. We're allowing God by way of the Spirit and the Scriptures to include what's on the ground, what we're seeing all around us, to map out what the Father is expecting of us in this time and what He is getting ready to do. So we're going to touch base with Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. We're going to go back into Proverbs 29:2. We're also going to look at a few other passages of scriptures pertaining to God's judgment so that we can begin to, you know, evaluate, not just to evaluate to see if we're in the faith, but to also evaluate what the Father is going to do with in this world with those individuals and how it will affect us who are not in the faith. Okay? So Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. Pastor Andre, if you could read that both in the King James and, of course, in the Amplified.
Alrighty. Now, in King James, this is what Daniel 11:32 says. Actually, whoops, it has Amplified. Here we go. And as such, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Now, for Amplified. This is what it says. With smooth words of flattery and praise, he will turn to godlessness those who are willing to disregard the Mosaic covenant. But the people who are spiritually mature and know their God will display strength and take action to resist.
They will take strength and display action to resist. To resist what? To resist the flattery, to resist the desire to get off the Mosaic covenant. That's key. And when we see the words Mosaic covenant, of course, metaphorically, we understand that that's talking about Torah. Now, that's an important piece, an extremely important piece, for us to know and understand so that we can gauge and so that we can know who this Antichrist is. And it's not so much as far as putting the name of a person with the Antichrist. No, I'm talking about the overall, overarching spirit itself. Because that spirit is not only alive and well, it's thriving. That spirit is thriving in our day and time. So it's that spirit that we are dealing with. Because remember, the scripture says we are not fighting against flesh and blood. That's not talking about believers with believers. That's talking about all flesh. Matter of fact, I want you, if you would, Pastor Andre, to go to that particular passage in Ephesians chapter 6 and read that passage again so that we all understand that this is not referring to believers. This is referring to all human beings. We don't want to fall prey to that. Because we fall prey to that, then you lose. We lose at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We are, at that point, we're not drawing strength. We draw strength by making sure we stay within the matrix of what God is doing and don't allow ourselves to be enticed into getting subjective about the events and the situation around us and towards individuals. Pastor Andre, if you read that for us.
Yes, and I have this in the Amplified at the moment. I can go back to King James here. But this is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces in this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural places. And for King James, going backwards this time. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Rabbi.
Yeah, amen. And so what we're beginning to see, or what we should see, is this is a spiritual battle, it's not a physical. This is pertaining to the spirit of Antichrist and not the Antichrist himself. We need to understand that we are not here to physically try to combat or destroy the Antichrist. Now, that may rub some individuals on the wrong side, and I understand that. But we have to divert our anger. We have to divert any aspect or any focus or desire to retaliate in the natural realm. We have to divert that to the spiritual realm. We have to be the violent that taketh by force in the spiritual realm that receives the results in the spirit. We have to make sure that we understand that this is a part of God's playbook. Daniel understood our day. He understood our time. He understood the futuristic aspect of how things were going to happen and go down. And I know that we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 29, verse 2, okay? And I want to go there. But then right after that, we're also going to go back to Daniel, and we're going to go into Daniel chapter 12, verses 1, 2, 3, and possibly 4. Daniel chapter 12, looking at verses 1 through 4. But we'll go to Proverbs 29, and I believe it's verse 2. Pastor Alfred.
Starting with Proverbs 29, verse 2 in King James. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Now for Amplified. When the righteous are in authority and become great, the people rejoice. But when the wicked man rules, the people groan and sigh.
So this is the litmus test here. We are going to know whether or not what the Lord is having me call the new Pharaoh is wicked or righteous. We're not going to bellyache. We're not going to get out of sorts. We're going to follow the mandate that was talked about in Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. We're going to continue to actively embrace Torah. We're going to continually actively pursue God, but not just pursuing God for God's sake. We're pursuing God based upon a relationship, based upon the marriage contract, which is what the Torah is often called in Hebrew circles. We're going to pursue that. And as we pursue that, then we will fulfill the B part of Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. Now, let's take a look at Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. And as we begin to look at that, we'll begin to see that what we're pursuing is it, and what we're going to win in is the spiritual balance. We have Michael the archangel as our commander that's going to be fighting and is already fighting the battle in the spiritual realm for us. The victories and the promises of God are all in a raging turmoil of battle right now, from the third to the second heavens. And so as we press in to the Spirit, as we begin to continue to allow God to use us as conduits we help to strengthen the victory of the battles that are raging right now, whether we consciously understand them or even sense them, is immaterial. The fact that they are, and the fact that God's word is, it's happening. So we play a part. Daniel chapter 12, starting with verse 1 to about verse 4. We may read verse 5, but verse 4 at least, in both the King James and the Amplified.
All right, here we go. And at that time, shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Now for the Amplified here. Now at that end time, Michael, the great angelic prince, who stands guard over the children of your people, will arise. And there will be a time of distress such as never occurred since there was a nation until that time. But at that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book of life, will be rescued. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, resurrect, these to everlasting life, but some to disgrace and everlasting contempt, abhorrence. Those who are spiritually wise will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven, and those who lead many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever and ever. But as for you, Daniel, conceal these words and seal up the scroll until the end of time. Many will go back and forth and search anxiously through the scroll, and knowledge of the purpose of God as revealed by his prophets will greatly increase.
Amen. Now, there's a lot here, obviously, but what I want us to focus on is the end time and the fact that at that particular time, there's a set time that God has placed. And this is referring to, for those of you that have probably already picked it up, this is referring to the rapture. We've got evidence in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 through 52. And as soon as you get there, Pastor Andre, you can go ahead and read that, both in the King James and the Amplified. But I want you to see that the New Testament is referring to this, yet the problem, this is the problem, Pastor Andre, is that if we just stay in the New Testament, then we don't have the essence of the understanding of the seasons and the climate that needs to be in order for the rapture to happen.
That's right.
There are surrounding aspects of evidential substance, if you will, impact indicators again, that give us a sense that we are in the end times. And if we're in the end times, then these types of things are going to happen. It says that there is going to be what some would call Jacob's trouble. There's going to be catastrophic wickedness, debauchery happening, persecution of the saints, persecution of those that are written in the book. It says here that they will be crying out. So we're getting the picture, I pray, of the understanding of what needs be before the deliverance, before the final deliverance. These are things that need be. So when we start to see the recipe coming before us, you know, a new Pharaoh that's wicked and passes wicked laws, and we begin to see the persecution and the spiritual debauchery and the spirit of Antichrist just running amok, then we know we are dangerously close to this particular passage of Scripture beginning to come to pass. We are dangerously close to stepping into the great tribulation period. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 through 52. Pastor Andrew.
Thank you. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now for Amplified.
Oh, okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. You can go ahead and do the Amplified.
Now I say this, believers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit nor be a part of the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable mortal inherit the imperishable immortal. Listen very carefully. I tell you a mystery, a secret truth decreed by God and previously hidden but now revealed. We will not all sleep in death, but we will all be completely changed, wondrously transformed, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the last trumpet call. For a trumpet will sound, and the dead who believed in Christ will be raised imperishable, and we will be completely changed, wondrously transformed.
Wow. Yeah. Take heart and take courage. This should give you the courage. But see, the problem here is this. If you just only went with the New Testament, Pastor Andre, when this persecution that's talked about in Daniel chapter 12, when that begins to run amok, many will lose heart. Many will say, where is our God? Many will say, God has forsaken us. When God has not forsaken us, God has not forsaken you. But if you forsake his Torah, if you forsake his feast days, if you forsake his appointed times, his moedims, if you forsake those, then the judgment, not the wrath as of yet, but the judgment of God will be upon all of us. And that judgment is to get us, it's a punishment to get us to first wake up, and secondly, to repent. And then third, to re-engage with him. Rebuild the relationship based upon Torah. And we need to understand that. That is, it's so vital. It's so important. You know, I sense that sometimes we get so involved in the things of this world that we forget about the responsibilities and the aspects of the way the Father is expecting us to engage with him in the spiritual realm. You know, we're going to go to Romans chapter 2, verse 5. But before we do that, I just want to hear your heart on the subject, Pastor Andre, pertaining to what we've covered so far. Okay, Pastor Andre?
Sure. Wow. So one of the things, just going back to what we have covered, one of the things that really stood out to me is how you brought back the truth that we really do wrestle against flesh and blood, and that this is not a fight against any man, any elected official, any person. You know, this is really about a spiritual battle. And it brought me back straight to a scripture, and I don't have it on the top of my head right now, but I do know it was Paul who was talking about how the spirit of Antichrist is already present, and that was in his day. And so that helped me to realize, wait a second, our fight is with the spirit of Antichrist in all of these different ages, all these different times. And what happens is it intensifies and is given power. But it's not for us to shrink back. We are to stand. And having done all, stand firm. So that goes back to everything we've talked about with the armor of God and with us doing what is righteous. And that leads into what we discussed with Proverbs. I loved how it talked about this is how you can determine, in a sense, again, test the fruit. You know, if things are going well, you know, the righteous are happy. If a wicked man is ruling, though, everyone moans and groans. And the thing is, sometimes I think we're tricked into thinking sometimes that some things are good and some things are bad. I think sometimes we're tricked by the illusion of economic prosperity. You know, oh, yeah, things are great, but actually things might not be good. So we have to really discern and be listening to what the Father's heart is and looking at what the actions are being taken by the leaders so that we can truly rejoice or sigh. And then the other one, a rabbi, that just really hit me was 1 Corinthians 15:50-20 that we just read. That really is another one of those hope moments. And I'm telling you what, as we go through these perilous times, you need to remind yourself of the hope that we have in Messiah Yeshua and the hope that we have in the resurrection and the fact that he will deal with injustice and he will bring righteousness. But the other thing that goes with it, Rabbi, and this is what I'll pass back to you, we have to understand that the judgment is coming forward, but if we're not inside of Goshen, if we're not inside of Torah and not doing what is righteous, then we will feel the effects. It will get hot. It's like being too close to the oven. And that reminds me of Daniel with his friends. When they went to throw the Hebrew boys in the furnace, the people that threw them in got burned up because they were too close to the oven. But the Goshen was with Daniel. Excuse me, not Daniel, but his three friends. The Goshen was in and all around them because they were protected in that heat. And so that is another one of those hope moments that we can run with, knowing that Yah does protect us and that anything that does happen around us is not for our evil or for our hurt, because our eternal perspective is victorious. But things will get hard, and we can't forsake or think that he's forgotten us, because he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Rabbi?
Amen and amen on that. Romans chapter 2, verse 5. I'm going to have you go ahead and read that. We're just going to go over a few God's judgment verses. So make sure you have your pens ready so that you can get this, or you can also go back in the archives and gather them if we're going too fast. And that's not our intent or my intent, but just in case we do go too fast, or I go too fast, then I want to make sure that you guys do have it. All right, Romans chapter 2, verse 5, and that's going to be both in the King James and the Amplified.
Alrighty. But after thy hardness, Romans chapter 2, verse 5, sorry. After thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Okay, and then Amplified. But because of your callous stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are deliberately storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed.
Because we're not repenting daily, because we're allowing stubbornness to come upon us, we are storing up, and this is whosoever, we're storing up the punishment for the wrath of God. So let's say you want to use the excuse that, well, you know, I have fulfilled all the requirements as a bride. But it says the bride has made herself ready in Revelation chapter 19, I think around 7, verse 7 or verse 8. This is a part of the readiness. Keeping myself spotless, keeping my attitude, my actions, my spiritual walk, spotless from the world. That is what is being referred to here. We have to make sure that we walk daily in repentance, so that we don't allow ourselves to begin to qualify for something that the Father and that the Son said that we should never be appointed to. Although they may not want us to be appointed to the wrath, we can appoint ourselves to the wrath by our disobedience and by our unrepentant hearts. I hope that that, as we get ready to go to the next passage of Scripture, I hope that that truly is setting the precedence for us to realize that, you know, we're not out of the woods yet, you know, and it's not over, and that we should ensure that we keep that relationship in the manner in which we ought to. It's that important. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. Peter has much to say about the end times, but our focus now is on the judgment, not the wrath. Now, we know the difference between judgment and wrath is in judgment, there's God's mercy. In wrath, there is no mercy. There's no repentance. There's no reconciliation. There's no time for any of that. It's over. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 17, both King James and the Amplified. Pastor Andre?
Amen. Amen. Thank you. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Oof. And Amplified. For it is the time destined for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not respect or believe or obey the gospel of God?
And don't be mistaken, the gospel of God includes Torah.
Yeah.
Torah is inclusive in the gospel. Because without Torah, as you already have found, without Torah, you have no relationship, no marriage, no true covenant. And we must have a covenant with him. We must have an understanding with him. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Both in the King James and in the Amplified.
Alrighty. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now for Amplified. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity or cowardice or fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of sound judgment and personal discipline, abilities that result in a calm, well-balanced mind and self-control.
I love the way that said that. This is our lean-to. This is our default. This is what we need to be making sure that we're doing and that we're acting and that we're being. Because I'm going to tell you, Pastor Andre, if I see things happening around the world and I don't have a clear understanding of the judgment of God based upon wickedness, then I can fall prey to my surroundings. I can fall prey to my environment. If my environment changes, and our environment in the spirit realm is definitely changing, demonic realm is trying to bombard the saints spiritually on every front. So if this begins to happen, if there is an earth-shattering, ungodly awakening that is trying to manifest, that I need to understand that I need to walk in the love covenant of God. And the love covenant of God is not cowardiceness. The love covenant of God is not physical force. I want to make sure that that is extremely clear. But it's spiritual force. We should not ever be spiritually timid. But when it comes to physical force, other than trying to protect your home and to protect your family, we need to make sure that we understand that that physical force against the wiles of the devil will not work. You will succumb to losing everything, to include your own soul. Because now you have been placed at the lowest level, as we've talked about before in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. You need to understand, yes, we are most definitely in a battle. But in a battle, you have to know how, you got to know who your enemy is, you have to know what your objective is, and you have to know how to battle, not just individually, but collectively as a group, in the orders that are you're given. And these things are important, and we're losing them as a corporate body. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5.
Alrighty. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also. For the Amplified. And that was 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Is that correct?
Actually, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. But you can, go ahead and read from 5 all the way to 7.
Okay, let's do that. So I'm going to go back to King James, 2 Timothy chapter
4. Yeah.
It's all right. Chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. So I just read 5, so let's go with 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now that was King James, and let's go to the Amplified here. And it says this. Let's see. I'll go ahead and read all the way from 5 to 7 again. I am calling up memories of your sincere and unqualified faith, the leaning of your entire personality on God in Christ, in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness. A faith that first lived permanently in the heart of your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am fully persuaded dwells in you also. That is why I remind you to stir up, rekindle the embers and fan the flame and keep burning. The gracious gift of God, the inner fire that is in you by means of the laying on of my hands with those of the elders at your ordination. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craven and cringing and fawning fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control.
Amen. And all of those are coming from the faith of his grandmother and his mother, based upon them teaching him Torah. That was based upon them teaching him how to conduct himself in a world of turmoil. It talks about the ambers. And, we have a wood stove, and it's been kind of cold in our particular area, especially at night. So I've been, stoking a fire on a regular. And one of the things that happened that I thought was kind of interesting, and it's interesting from a standpoint of what you just shared, Pastor Andre, is that when all of the wood burns down, then all you have is ash. And oftentimes you have cold ash on top of embers that are under it. And you don't realize that it's, unless you put your hand over it, you don't realize that there's still heat emanating from that. And I've got, fireplace tools, and one of those is a poker. And so when I go in and I start to poke at the lower levels, then the embers come out. And what I see with Yah, with us, is he's allowing the wickedness of the devil and the devices of the devil to be a poker to begin to bring up the embers of what we've been taught and what we've believed and what we have come to understand about our God and about our relationship with our God. So that's what Paul is speaking to Timothy here. That's what we need to understand. Too often we look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, and we just, you know, we got that. We understand that. We've memorized it. But you got to understand how that comes about. It comes about through studying Torah. It comes about through allowing Torah to become you. In other words, my obedience to what I've been, what I understand according to Yah, I walk it out, and as I walk it out, it becomes me as it becomes me. My relationship with him and my faith with him throughout all circumstances and situations that happen become as strong as iron, because it's been forged through time, through scenarios, through events. Like David. David was able to slay Goliath. Why? Not because he believed in his God, but because David was proven his God. David's faith in his God was proven through the bear and through the lion when no one was around. So we allow that proving, and God is going to bring about, and it's already starting to bring about, proving ground. Don't look at this as calamity and wickedness and all of that, which it is, but look at it as proving ground for you, for your faith, for your relationship. Where is your faith? Where is your relationship truly when you're up against it? When the poker is poking at you and poking at your family, where is your faith? A better way of saying that, where is your faithfulness? How long will you be faithful? How long will you be faithful when things begin to come against your lifestyle? Change your habits. Press against your freedoms. How long will you be faithful to him? How long will you believe in him? If we already know in Daniel that these things will be, that perilous times will be, then we should be able to draw strength from the poker. We should be able to take the poker out of the hand of the enemy. We should be able to dislodge it by our faith in God and our reliance on him to protect and cover and keep us. We should be able to do that. That's a part of the call of God for us. I believe it is Isaiah 55:11. It gives us the right to take the poker out of the hand of our enemy. Isaiah 55:11. If you're wondering, well, do I have the right to take that poker from him? Yes, you do. We're going to empower you right now. Isaiah 55:11, King James and Amplified.
All right. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it.
Amen.
Amplified.
So, go ahead.
So will my word be which goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me void, useless, without result, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it.
Amen. And the Father has already spoken to you and allowed you to know that no weapon formed against you will prosper. Not only that, he says that the inheritance of Jacob is that you have the right to condemn those words and those individuals who will not repent, who are coming against you. You have that right. We have that right. Now, it's got to be by the power of God. It's got to be by the anointing of the Yah. You can't just get mad at somebody and then, you know, God curse you. You know? No. It's got to be in His timing and according to His plan. But you still have the right. So we need to understand that. We need to know that we have the right to take that poker. No, He's not wanting you to just stand there and take it. Look at Yeshua. He never stood there and took hits from the enemy, except for the Garden of Gethsemane, which was a part of the call of His purpose. Every other time, Satan never got, not only did he never get a foothold on him, but Satan was defeated in every turn. The poker was taken out of his hands. He was not given the opportunity for that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. Both in the King James and the Amplified.
Okay. Let me get King James here. Here we go. Okay, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. All right, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which also ye suffer. And for Amplified. This is a positive proof of the righteous judgment of God, a sign of His fair verdict, so that you will be considered worthy of His kingdom, for which indeed you are suffering.
Although we're suffering in the fact of areas in our life are not pleasing to God. They're not right with Him. They are become a part of who we are, but they really are a part of who we aren't. So the Father allows righteous judgment to happen so that it becomes who we are not. So that we come to a place where we don't even recognize that behavior. We don't even recognize that attitude. You don't recognize those suit of clothes of wickedness that you've worn in past time. Righteous judgment helps to awaken an individual to the reality of righteousness. Judgment does that. Judgment calls, and not only does it call us to the carpet, but it calls us to a right relationship. How do I know what is right and wrong if there's no punishment? How do I know that the Father will do what is right if there's no punishment? If there's no, not just punishment, if there's no blessing. How do I know God as a generous Father that will give blessings to His children if there's no fruit of that? So both have to be present for righteousness to prevail. That's why mercy is found in judgment. Mercy is found in judgment so that you can begin to embrace Him and embrace the blessings of the mercy. Judgment causes me to wake up and realize that what I'm doing and saying is wrong. Without judgment, I don't know that I'm wrong. It's like Torah. Without Torah, I would not know that I am sinning. This is what Paul has spoken and had explained to the Romans. I would have not known what sin was if Torah had not come. Torah gave me an understanding. Well, how did it give you an understanding? It gave me an understanding like a father or a parent when they have a switch or a belt. That gives you an understanding that, hey, what you just did was wrong. Because the fruit of punishment is only connected to wrongness. What kind of parent would God be if every time you did something right, you got punished? And every time your sibling did something wrong, they got blessed. That would pervert justice. It would cause justice to not be able to even lift its head. We need to understand that the judgment that we are about to approach in upon this land is to help aid us in being who He's called us to be as brides, and knowing what is right and is acceptable of God and what is not acceptable of God. Last scripture, and it's a familiar one, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. We are responsible for knowing the will of God. Go ahead, sir.
King James first, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now for Amplified. And do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes, so that you may prove for yourselves what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in His plan and purpose for you.
Amen. That is wonderful, the way the Amplified shares
that.
That was beautiful. And the only thing I would add to that, the only thing I would add to that, Pastor Andre, is judgment and mercy are both tools of God to help us to fulfill this passage. I'm going to say that again. Both judgment and mercy that God allows and that God brings are excellent tools that He uses in order for us to determine what the perfect will of God is, and not just to determine and say, okay, that's the right one, but and for us to embrace it. Because without judgment, we would say, oh, well, that's nice, but I don't want to do it. You know, my flesh wants to do this. But once your flesh starts to get the punishment, then that particular punishment is going to drive you into doing the perfect will. Now, the beautiful thing about the Father is this. Once you do the perfect will, judgment no longer has preeminence over you.
Yeah.
It no longer has rights to harm you. Now, mercy takes a turn. And the blessings of God and the relationship of God is now built based upon the joy. First, it was based upon the pain. I was driven based upon what? The pain. But now that I am being obedient, the joy of the blessings of God and the relationship and the richness of God, that helps to sustain me. That helps to keep me. That literally helps to keep me from falling. Because now I went from a have to I want to. The judgment was to deal with my have to. But the mercy deal with my want to. This is a great example that you can also use with your children. After the discipline, then begin to woo them into the mercy, making sure that they understand. And it will be a situation where they will do it not because they have to, because they want to please you. And their punishment would be grievous to them, the fact that they didn't please you, didn't please mommy, didn't please dad. And that's the most excellent place that you want your children to be. But guess what? The Heavenly Father wants us to be there. Pastor Andre, I'm going to pass it to you for the closing remarks.
Wow. This was an excellent conversation, sir. I appreciate this very much. One of the things that in this latter part that really got me were the string of scriptures. And hopefully all of you have those. It will be available on the broadcast as it's recorded. I have it in the notes here, and I'll make those available to you. But these scriptures are excellent in helping us understand the purposes of God's judgment. And this last comment you've made, Rabbi, was profound, that the judgment deals with the I have to, that aspect of us in us that we have to do something, not because we want to, but we have to do it. But the mercy deals with the I want to, and I want to please Yah. And so, Father, we just thank you right now. I thank you for this message. So for those of you listening, we just want to encourage you to continue to be faithful. That was one of the words that came out today. To continue in your faithfulness, to continue in doing what is right before Yah, according to his word, according to his Torah. And just as a reminder that you are joining us today and listening to These Be Perilous Times. And we're glad that you've taken this time to look and engage the word of Yah with us. We encourage you to study these things as Bereans and to see if these things are true for you. And not just true for you, but true according to his word, to see if they are applicable to every believer. And if they are, then to apply them with earnest. As a reminder, this broadcast is an outreach of Congregation Beth Hashem in Durham, North Carolina. If you have questions or would like to receive our weekly newsletter, or if you want to leave us an encouraging word, you can do so at office@bethhashem.org, and that's the email address, office@bethhashem.org. If you'd like to find out more about us, you can visit us at bethhashem.org, and that's BETHHASHEM.org. If you are a user of the Facebook platform, we do make available some material there, facebook.com/Beth Hashem Ministries, all lowercase. And lastly, but importantly, we want to offer information about our Hebraic college. Excuse me. If you'd like a deeper understanding of the Hebraic roots of our faith, our college, the Ka University of Learning, offers courses in Messianic apologetics and biblical Jewish studies, and you can view our course catalog at courses.bethhashem.org. If you'd like to make a donation and contribute to this ministry and the work that we're doing here, you can do so via Cash App. You can go to www.cash.app/$BethHashem. Or you can mail your donation to our office at 2211 Shaw Road, Durham, North Carolina, 27704. And we want to thank those who have already contributed and been a blessing to this ministry. And at this time, we'll close our study this morning with our After Torah study blessing. Pastor Doug.
Baruch Ata Yehuah Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Natan Lanu Toret Emet V'chaye Olam Nata Bikokenu. Baruch Ata Yehuah Noten HaTorah. Blessed are you, Yehuah, our Yah, King of the Universe, who gave us the Torah of Truth and set everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yehuah, Giver of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yehuah, nuestro Dios, Rey del Universo. No has dado la Torah de la verdad y poner vida eterna en medio de nosotros. Se bendiga, Yehuah, dador de la Torah.
Amen. And at this time, I will sing the Aaronic benediction as we close, and then, Rabbi, I'll pass it to you for our closing prayer after this blessing.
Yivarechecha Yehuah veyishmerecha Yair Yehuah panavelecha vichunecha Yisai Yehuah panavelecha veyashem lecha shalom.
May Yehuah bless you and keep you. Yehuah cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yehuah lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of our Messiah, Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Rabbi, back to you.
And as he was praying that prayer and singing that prayer, the thought came to my mind, as you walk with him in his covenant. So the shining upon me, Father God, let it be as I am walking with you, as I'm corresponding with you, as I'm being obedient to you, as I am filtrating my heart with you and you only, and cleansing my mind of this world and the things and the enticing desires of this world. Father, allow me to have the perspective that you desire and that you are yielding and that you are mandating in this time and in this season. There's a mandate that the demonic realm is fulfilling, but there is a superior mandate that you are wooing and calling for each and every one of us. Father, I answer the call. I submit to your authority, and I allow you to guide my steps, my actions, my words, my emotions. In the name of Yahushua, I pray. And until next broadcast, shalom, shalom.